What's good? What's good? Welcome back on 20 Talk. This is your boy, Earn B.
It's Steph the Oracle.
This your boy, Dirty.
Dirty. Steph the Oracle. Why do we have our glasses on today?
Because we talking about tacos. Got the aviators on.
In the danger zone.
Danger zone.
I'm here. Don't think, just go. Damn it, Rooster. Look, man, this don't need no introduction, but of course we have to introduce. I'll tell you like this. I've watched so many movies in my lifetime, and I'm sure you guys have. One movie I can recollect as a kid was Top Gun, the first one. Why? Because it had those cool airplanes doing zigzag and mo. And I was a kid then. But now, how many years later, I believe? Was it 30? Is it the easy 30 years later?
It was 1986, I think the movie was released. So I was born in 83, so let's just say enough.
Yeah.
Okay. That's more. Yeah. So we're good, right?
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, man. So Top Gun Maverick, who, by the way, later down the line, we'll discuss why. This is why we love billion-dollar movies, almost, because it will get there eventually.
Almost. Give it time.
So your man Tom Cruise, first of all, this guy just, he wants to live till he's 180.
Why you say that?
He's all about the Scientology.
Like, look, if you look at him, the guy doesn't age.
True.
The guy looks stellar. I don't want to say handsome because I would have to say pause, but he looks stellar for his age. Yo, he's almost 60.
Yeah, but he's aging just a little bit. You could tell, you know, like when we're watching the movie. Said
just a little bit.
Just a little.
He's almost you hating 60. On that six pack, yo. Shut up. Shut up.
Don't hate on the six pack, bro.
Don't hate on the six pack, bro. Don't hate.
I mean, I would hate on it too, but I won't, you know?
Don't hate on the six pack.
Steph, we're going to start with you. Ladies first. Take a deep dive into Top Gun Maverick. Why do you love this movie?
So before we get that, I got to tell you guys where 20 Talk is, where you got to find us, right? So 20 Talk is talking about all shows and movies and everything in between. So I want you to go back and listen to those episodes wherever you listen to your podcast. We're on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker Radio, Radio Public, iHeart, Pandora, Amazon Music, and CastBox. Listen and click. And click on that follow button wherever you can get those latest notifications. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at 20Talk20. And don't forget to follow, like, and share on Facebook. And follow us on YouTube.
Let's get back to it.
Top Gun. So, the most interesting
Maverick,
thing that I
don't
like...
Forget Maverick.
Oh, sorry. I got to go back. Top Gun 2 Maverick.
There you go.
Sorry. I have to make sure I get that right. thinking about the premise of this movie, walking into the movie theater, I was not expecting anything. And I say that because there's always the curse of the follow-ups and the remakes and the redos. And sometimes you just get disappointed. This movie did not disappoint. It was reminiscent from the opening scene to the music, to the mirror images and the parallel moments, to the new characterizations, to just exactly putting those fighter scenes where they needed to be.
Dog fights
and training. Right? The dog fights and the training. This is something that I was under the impression that was completely under CGI. So to my understanding, shout out to Party J. He was telling us about, he didn't see the movie yet. But yeah, he knew more about the movie than any of us who've actually have the opportunity to see it. So he was watching it on YouTube. He was reading articles and he was telling us that the actual scenes that are there, they were not CGI.
No.
So I was just like, I didn't think. But then again, it's Tom Cruise. My man broke an ankle for Mission Impossible, you know, and he's jumped out of planes. He's done his own stunts. So it's not far from the truth that this would be what it is.
So, right.
So if we're putting a standard and we're putting the marks. The marks are high. So for Tom Cruise, he is rejuvenating his success. He's already been famous. He's already been successful. He already has Mission Impossible coming out as well. And Top Gun has just put him back on the map.
It did.
It did.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, but so when you think about it, you say he put him back on the map. When did he fall off?
He fell off when all this stuff with Scientology, like a lot of people would thought that it was something that was taking him away from Hollywood, or if he was being influenced and things like that. But he was always in the news, but not for the news that you think that's positive, because it was always looked at a negative light in that sense.
Okay.
But he never fell off, but it was looked at.
But this has just cemented him.
Yeah.
As one of the last greatest action heroes. Action hero actor. Mm.
So what do you put him with the category? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's part of that. He's part of that yearbook.
That
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chuck Norris, Charles Bronson,
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone.
So he's with that.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Steven Seagal.
Jet Li. Jackie Chan.
So he's
Steven
with
Steven Seagal. So he's part of that club.
That graduating class, you're saying, of the
That was the yearbook
for
our age group going up.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Wow. So Tom Cruise is that much of an action hero?
Absolutely.
He makes his own stunts, bro.
He's insane. He's crazy, bro.
He's just like Jackie Chan doing his own stunts, bro.
He's crazy.
So he wants to make it as authentic as possible.
And it was so funny to see him in the beginning of the credits, to see he was like telling you, like, guys, we wanted to make this authentic, and we fought hard to make sure that we get the most authentic and the best movie out there for you. And I'm like, my man was not lying. Legitimately, he was not lying.
You got to remember, through all the hurdles that happened along the way, just to even get this movie out.
Just to even get it done.
Because the movie was done before COVID.
Yeah.
But they had a release date, and then COVID happened, and they knew if this would have went straight to streaming services,
It would not have done as well as it did in the box office.
Because this was a box office movie.
Yeah, it's not a streaming.
So they waited. And just the hurdles, they had to pay the U.S. government and the military to use the fighter jets. Mm-hmm. They had to pay them for, there was a scene where they had to like lower the threshold for the elevation, which is you cannot go under 200 feet, 2,000 feet.
2,000
feet. So they lowered it to 500.
Okay.
So that was really legit. So they had to pay the government to kind of like suspend that rule, that law, that rule, just to get as low as possible to the ground.
Even you telling me that, how much pull do you have?
How much pull do you have to even do that?
It's so crazy to get that.
And he even paid, right?
He even paid for the whole cast to go train with the military, with the flights, to get that authenticity of the G-forces.
Meanwhile, I'm over here.
And they use those scenes in the actual movie.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I'm thinking this is all CGI. People are sitting in a green screen. This is what I'm thinking. I was like, I'm assuming that. But then again, Tom Cruise has to pick up the elevation and make sure.
Yep.
he picks up the standard. So.
Okay. So, but let's be clear though. All the pilots, all the actors who played the pilots, they didn't jump in a plane and just went airborne, correct?
Yeah, they did. To my understanding, they did. They all went to flight school.
To my understanding, that was what I was reading in some of the articles and behind the scenes. Yeah.
They didn't use the F-16. They used the F-18, which is a two-passenger fighter jet. So all the scenes were recorded from, they weren't actually flying, but it was from the back seat of the two person cockpit. So those scenes were legit scenes, bro.
Flying those planes?
They weren't flying. The real pilots were flying, but they were just recording their reaction, making it seem like they were the ones that flying.
That they were the ones flying.
But they were literally in the fighter jets recording those scenes.
But just them being in the plane is like
insane.
It's like, yo, this isn't like, so basically for us, right? Or for us normal humans, right? We're basically saying that's not a good idea because we're good. We'd rather, put us in the little thing, in the bodegas, the little the little plane, and you act like we doing it CGI, yeah. But you're saying no. Nope. You want to do it for real.
That's why they had to pay so much money to the U.S. government to use the military. And that's why they needed
to make $1 billion movie. How much?
It's over 500 billion right now. Over 500 million right now, excuse me. Almost a billion. Opening week, it took 500 million. Opening week.
Amazing.
Yes, it did.
Opening week?
Opening week, 500 million. Hey. Opening weekend, it grossed like 137 opening weekend, those two first 3 days. But at the end of the week, it was like 500 million.
He's going to hit the billion club up there with Avatar and Titanic. Yep, yep. He's going to hit the billion club easily.
Absolutely. And you know why he's going to hit the billion mark with this particular movie? You know how many age groups he probably hit? Probably ranging from 10 years old, give or take, to his age group. 70, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, to his age group.
Yep. And it's crazy we talk about that because I was actually watching another podcast, which is it's called Jocko Podcast, and he's a former Navy SEAL, and he interviewed one of the Top Gun instructors, which was one of his comrades in like growing, like being in the military and everything. His name is Dave Burke. He's one of like the top instructors, Top Gun instructors in the world, and he had input into the movie.
So was he like he was a consultant? He was a
consultant.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So he pretty much said that a lot of the scenes that we see, a lot of the maneuvers, are actually what they do in Top Gun. And Top Gun is just a nickname for the program. It's called the Gunner Flight School, something like that. It's basically to teach you how to dogfight in a war. But everything, he had a lot of input into the movie. And how Tom Cruise is supposed to act as teaching the class, and then how he was just so nonchalant about everything. Right. That's exactly how he would be also, like as a teacher, as an instructor.
Well, let me tell you, you got to work well under pressure. Yeah. If you look like you are in panic mode, then everybody else around is going to be panicking. And it's
crazy because Dave Burke, he's one of the top six instructors in Top Gun Academy, but he's a Marine. He's not a Navy SEAL. Because a lot of them in the movie, they're Navy flight pilot.
Officers,
yeah.
But he's a Marine.
So he's one of three Marines that he's a pilot.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's
insane.
And he said a lot of 90% of the stuff in the movie is actually real.
Wow.
Legit.
I got goosebumps right now.
Yeah, in terms of like how everything is taught, how the flying, how an simulation, instructor.
Everything.
Simulation. Dang. In terms of the instructor going after the dogfights after them.
Yo, that's insane, bro.
And the instructor is always the best guy for the job.
Has to be.
And that's exactly,
how is he supposed to teach other people?
Exactly. In this movie, Tom Cruise was destroying these guys in the dogfights.
Destroying them.
And these guys are like the top pilots.
Murdering them.
Yep, the top pilots in the program. It's crazy.
That's insane. But I think what Ern wants us to kind of take it back and to see what is it that we thought was so great about that. But Ern, you take us on this journey. What did you think about it?
Man, so you gotta go back and think about just being a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I could think that, you know, Oracle, who had, you know, family, siblings, cousins, you know, who had particular toys, you know, an airplane, making paper airplanes, throwing it, you know, so it takes me that far back. And now, you know, years later, if you think about it, how many movies have we seen throughout the years after Top Gun where they're talking about flying? Mm-hmm, you know, exactly. There's a couple of TV shows. But it disappeared, you know? Hey, I'm not mad at CGI. I'm not mad at Transformers, you know, at Marvel, but you get it. You know, those type of things kind of disappeared when it comes back to real life, you know, F-18s, F-16s, you know, in real life, if this is time for combat, these are it for real. You know, we're not worried about the year 2999. We're right. talking about right now, yep. you know, if things go down. And Top Gun brings me, it pulled me in. I'm just going to say it.
It pulled us in.
It's quick, real quick. I was over here like just super impressed. Just the first scene alone, you know, when Maverick, of course, he has to be a hard head. But when he got into that stealth bomber.
Hard head, that stealth bomber. Yo. Yeah. When that dude hit Mach 10, boy, my heart was like this. I was like, ah!
The song that comes to mind is, push it to the limits. Limits and breaks along the races. and it's funny you mentioned that because that instructor, uh-huh. the reason why he became a fighter pilot was because he saw Top Gun.
No way.
And that just cemented. His career.
You're lying.
Yep. He reassured him because he always wanted to be a Marine or Navy.
Okay.
But then once he saw the movie, it just cemented what he wanted to do in life. And then now he even said that it's even better this time because now kids are going to be watching it and they're going to want to go into the military
right.
and they want to be pilots and they want to be going to a fighter jets. So this is just going to cement other kids' futures because they're going to want to do that also.
But remember, he was a Marine first, so he already had a rigorous background. So that kind of really, I think that helped him.
The instructor?
Yeah.
The instructor was 13 years old when he saw the movie.
No, I'm talking about like when he, in his adult life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a Marine first. So sometimes you have that rigorous training. I think that even helped him to even be a better pilot.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you have that advantage of that background, you know, with that capacity, yo, you could do wonders. Yeah. You could do amazing things.
Absolutely. I mean, just to think about, you know, it's like watching a certain show and said, because of this show, I want to go to college. Like for me was, you know, a Bill Cosby show. It's a different world, you know? So I was like, this is what college is like?
Yeah.
I'm going.
And you see the students, they're having amazing discussions and they're talking about being doctors and you see all these great influences. Absolutely. And they're talking about real life things. We're talking about racism. We're talking about dating. We're talking about crimes, rape, things of all this matter that they really tackled those issues, which is like, it's like legit. This is what happens in college. And it was like such a great thing to see that. So I think that applies for any person. Like for me, I didn't have to see a movie to say I want to be a nurse. But I had to see it for myself. Like I had to, you know, go through the struggles and see this is what I'm made to do. But dance was like that for me. I saw somebody dancing on the television screen. I was like, yo, I want to do that. Like, I want to do that. So dance was that for me. That was for sure. Dance was something like that.
And you see, and that's what makes it awesome, you know.
Influence.
I guess, what is it? Art imitates life. Life imitates art, vice versa. You know, so that's just very true. And It's a good situation for us as moviegoers to see more movies like this, you know, because if you think about it, we ignore due to CGI, again, no disrespect to the Marvel life and all of that, but we neglect a lot of movies to go to the theater. You know, there's a lot of movies that we'll see, like you said, about, you know, going straight to streaming and then you'll be damn, I wish that never went to streaming. I wanted to see that in the theater. You know,
but so it's not the same situation being home, right? It's not the same, right? Imagine experiencing
unless you have the LG C1.
No, shut up.
Unless you have the LG.
Shut up. It's not the same having the same experience as if you were to go into theater. Even if you did a 4D or whatever, or even regular, it's not the same ambiance. Like you're sitting in a theater, it's dark, it's loud, it's a large screen, seeing those planes. It's not the same when you're home. You know, it's not the same. It's not the same experience.
Unless you have a projector.
Nah, you know, it's not the same. You know what I mean? It's, you know, you're at the point where at the end of the movie, you love the standing ovation because we got one. Believe that, we got one, you know?
We didn't have one in ours, but everybody clapped. Everybody clapped in ours, but nobody stood up. It would have been nice if everybody stood up.
Like, no, everybody did not stand up because everybody's super comfortable in those comfy chairs. Yeah. So everybody was clapping and cheering really loud. But ain't nobody was getting up.
Right. Ain't nobody. well, to be fair, when the movie ended, we got up and then we clapped. So I don't know if that's a standing ovation.
It is a standing ovation.
I don't think they got up and said, oh, shoot, like encore. What is this? You know, but people stood up and then they clapped and then they left, you know. But, you know, you got to ask yourself, how many times have we seen that? How many times?
I guess Marvel was another one. Marvel. You know, but this, that's a whole different type of movie.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
what I'm saying.
This was like authentic to its core.
Right, right. You know, so you go back and again, you stress a little bit that you want some realism, you know? And, you know, when you guys telling me, oh, yeah, they was really in the plane. They really went to school. They were really doing all of those movements, even though they didn't fly the plane. But I tell you this, Oracle, if I'm in the plane, damn near, I drove the bitch. I felt like I drove it. I did it, damn it.
Well, you made me look good.
Argue with me.
You made me look like I did.
You know what I mean? You made me look great. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know if you had to have a six pack to be in this movie, because that's what it felt like at times with that damn beach scene. But, hey, it is what it is, man.
I missed an important part because I don't remember. Did I miss anything? Because I went to go use the bathroom.
I think that was the beach scene.
I did miss it. I didn't see it. I only saw like the first.
She walked out. She had to use the bathroom during that scene.
I had to use the bathroom. And I was just like, because he brought like this big Pepsi cup. So I was just like, I went in on it. So I was like, I got to go. And I don't want, let me go now. I don't want to miss another scene. So I guess that was the scene I missed. So.
Damn, man. They convinced y'all to buy the $18.99 small Pepsi.
Yeah, sure did. They got him. They saw him coming.
They got me. Jeez. Well, they didn't get me for this one. They got me for the Jurassic Park. So I got like the plastic bowl and the plastic cup for Jurassic Park.
Got him.
So let me ask you a few more questions, because I feel like we got a deep dive into these the situations of the movies, right? The micro stories, as Oracle put it. How pissed were you to a degree when Rooster was being a little bit of a boy instead of a man when Maverick approached him, when he had to say sergeant, or was it lieutenant? Well, he had to stop them. He couldn't stop them regularly. Like, I knew you since you was a kid, but I had a man up on you and say, sergeant, you know, stand right there. How mad were you? Because I was pissed.
I wasn't mad.
Well,
I wasn't mad.
Order is an order. You know, like, it doesn't matter if you're pissed off on that. It's the military. You still got to obey. And yes, right. I get Rooster's frustration because Tom Cruise pulled his papers to go into the academy. Oh. And it set him back 4 years to get into the academy. You know, but later on, we realized why he did it.
It was revealed later in the
movie. In the movie. Yeah, his mom was dying, and because of what happened to his dad, which was Goose, he died. His mom didn't want him to go in the same path, and then she made Maverick promise to her that he wouldn't allow him, Rooster, to go to his flight school, but he ended up doing it anyway on his own. You know, like, even though it set him back 4 years, so you see the grudge. You see the grudge. You know, like, why, you know, he has that animosity towards Maverick. And Maverick just wants to be like this dad to him. You know, like, just take him under his wing.
Literally
a father figure.
No, under his wing.
Under his wing.
See, I thought you were going to get it with me, bro.
I thought you could catch on.
I got it.
Yeah. So, Oracle, you agree? You don't think to a degree where, you know, like, I felt like they missed a lot of time. Right? Like, there wasn't good friends growing up. He wasn't, he didn't really become a full father figure after Goose passed. You know, it was a real tough situation. Well, don't get me wrong. Maverick was out here, you know, doing young boy stuff at an old age, but do you think they had a good relationship? Cause it looks like they didn't at all.
I think in the beginning they did. I think when he was younger, I think they had a good relationship. He obviously had his picture. He had his father in a mural. So obviously there was some sort of good relationship in the beginning.
He was almost like a father behind his uncle.
It was
like
his uncle.
An uncle or father behind the scenes. Cause when you looked at his locker, you see all the, how do you call it? The accolades that Rooster went through. Yeah. He got married, kids. You see him go through a graduate military school. So Maverick had all pictures of him in his locker. And it took
of Goose or of Rooster?
Of Rooster.
Okay.
Cause they showed that in the beginning. You know, and then when Rooster saw that, that's when I think he kind of like felt I'm being too hard on this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then he realized that Maverick has been watching him his whole life.
From the beginning. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And let me ask you this. How pissed off was Maverick when he realized, nah, old school, we don't need you to fly the plane. We need you to teach how to fly the plane. How mad do you think that was for him as a guy who's living in a second childhood to a degree?
It's tough because, you know, he's really good at what he does. And I kind of have similar things about that situation, because when you're good at what you do, you just want to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. But then you realize later on is when is it time to hang it up? And right. And he's in denial that he's aging. He's in denial. Absolutely. He's in denial. He's going through a crisis.
Yeah, that applies in real life, bro.
That applies exactly. He's going through a midlife crisis. You know, he's refusing to see that he's aging, and all he wants to do is fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my thing is, it's like, even though he's aging, there's no sign of that, mm-hmm. because he's one of the badasses in the air. You know, for that's experience, right. Not necessarily like aging, but if he is aging, it's just the wrinkles on his face. It's just, you know, the wear and tear on the body.
Yeah, but to the military, just a number.
Right. Well,
you know, that's once mm-hmm. once your time is done, your time is done. That's it.
But the thing with them is that.
But at least you could bring back the knowledge to give it to the next generation. But sometimes, like mm-hmm. in this movie, he took it upon himself to do it anyway. You know, like, I'll show you how it was done. This is how you do it.
Yeah, but that's the foundation of the character.
To prove that it can be done.
Right. Right. I mean, look at the situation. He said, look, I want them to come back alive, sir. Alive.
Military was like, what?
Yeah.
A mission's a mission.
The general froze. He was like, he basically was like, oh, I ain't expect nobody to live. My bad. Like, really, guy? His face said it all. It was like, yeah. I'm not expecting to come back. Or all of y'all. You know, if we were lucky, maybe one. You know, but you know, like at the end of the day, we knew what was going to happen, right? We knew Maverick was going to fly. I mean, the movie's called Top Gun Maverick. So we knew what was going to happen, you know? But I like the fact that we got into some new characters, you know, some new faces, new actors. Don't get me wrong, they've been acting for a while, but I love the fact that we got some people that I feel like we're going to see for a mighty long time, you know? And I want to start off with Monica Barbaro, AKA Phoenix.
Okay.
I loved her, yo. I loved her. Like that to me, I would ask you guys, I'm gonna ask you guys, who's your favorite character? I think that was it. She was ready, she was gung-ho, she was down for it. Who's your favorite new character?
I was just gonna be just joking. I was just like Bob. B-O-B.
Yeah, B-O-B.
Bob. No. But I love Rooster. I really love Rooster.
Really?
I do. I love Rooster only because it was just, he was so reminiscent of his dad, the same mannerisms, the same parallel scenes. And he, because, you know, he had something to prove just like Maverick did. And that relationship, that head to head, I really enjoyed. And Andre made a great point about it mirrored Val Kilmer, who was Iceman. And Maverick that had that same situation of who was going to be the better fire pilot.
Yeah, yeah.
Hangman and Rooster. So
that was like one of the similarities that, from the old movie.
Movie to that one. So seeing Rooster, I really enjoyed Rooster.
See who was the better pilot.
Yeah. I like
Hangman. Hangman was like that over cockiness. He's the guy that, yo, I could do it all. You put me in any room, I'll be the number one guy. He's very, very confident. Yeah. Very,
my man came in
over
and
the
saved
top.
Him in the day.
Yep. At the end, he came in and saved the day.
Came and saved the day. So I
can't get man, I ain't gonna lie. He was pretty dope. I mean, I think about, you know, like I said, like you said, like think about him as baby Iceman to me. You know, that's what they were trying to do for the most part. You know, who is similar to who from, you know, the actors from back in the days to now, you know?
So you got to also remember that. That even though this movie takes place over 30 years, there's a lot that's happened in our timeline, in our real life timeline, that's happened between the inclusivity of women now. Because now, in the first Top Gun, you never saw a woman pilot, a female pilot. In this Top Gun, now she's Phoenix. She's like a female pilot.
No,
so
but
it's mimicking our real timeline.
I think the way that the same positioning like Phoenix was in was the same positioning as the flight instructor. Because you have to fly in order to be instructor or no?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay, so then in Top Gun 1, when Tom Cruise fell in love with the instructor, Kelly McGillis,
yeah,
she was the female teacher. You didn't see that.
You didn't see her flying.
You didn't see her flying. No. But that's what I'm saying. Did she fly? Can you teach if you can't fly? I don't know. That's
a good question.
What I'm saying, that was my question, because I never saw her fly in the movie. I was like, why are you a teacher then?
Yeah, but there's people that can teach but not fly.
Give up.
But yeah, how? Yeah.
But you know, there's people that are really good at teaching a subject, but they're probably, you know, like.
So, okay, so if you're really good at reading chapters and then regurgitating it and giving the instructions to other people to understand it, that makes you a great teacher?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. Not for flight school. Sorry.
But at least with this movie, you see a female pilot. You see her in the cockpit.
No, I'm saying that her role was her role was pivotal because, she's reintroducing and she's a woman pilot. Yep. It's the same thing like she was a woman teacher. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's similar to that. That's what I'm saying. But you will be able to teach.
Yeah, life has changed for the most part in so many ways. As we last seen, you know, from now till from back in the day in the 80s, of course, 2022, you know, when Marines, you know, female Marines, female Air Force, it's just, you know, it's an opportunity. It should, you know, doing jobs like that, it is, in my opinion, it's 50-50. You know, if you could do the job, you could do the job. That's just bottom line, you know. But then there are times, you know, somebody physically can't do the job, male or female, you know, and it's happened, you know. But like I said, for Phoenix, for her to get up there, and she was always ready. I loved it. I love that, the fact that she was ready to go.
She killed it. Her and Bob, B-O-B, Bob.
But yeah, Bob was ready. Sharp, you know. What do you call him? Hangman, right? Nah, when he called him Hangman, I laughed. I was just like, oh man, here we go. You know, but there's so much more too. There's so much more. I was happy to see a few other actors. Jay Ellis, you know, Issa Rae Show. Payback, yep, from Insecure.
Love Issa Rae Show.
And I don't know if you know about T. him. Lawrence. That dude's a great director.
I've heard of him doing some work as a producer, but I think he was working aside with Issa Rae, I think, on some other side projects. I think. I'm trying to remember if there were other projects that he was on, that Jay Ellis was in. But Jay Ellis has been popping ever since Insecure. He's been really, really busy. So to see him in Top Gun, I was so excited. I was like, Team Lawrence. I was like, he was so good in it. He was so good. Oh, I was like, oh, he's so handsome. He's so good.
Who?
What are you talking about? Man, shut up.
Your boo said we ain't trying to hear no more of that, boo. You know, we done with this conversation or what? This guy is fantastic. He directed a few scenes in Insecure, you know, and a lot of people don't know that, man. Some people just need to get their credit when a credit is due.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm just happy this movie came out because, you know, the situation that happened a couple of years ago. Tom Cruise was losing his ish. People wasn't wearing their masks. He just went off, you know? And now that we're here, we're witnessing, you know, newcomers. First of all, we're witnessing newcomers who are great actors, you know, and it was getting big time opportunity. For Jay Ellis, this was another huge step in his career. Like, I mean, man, like, I'm going to look and I'm going to find out what else he's doing down the line. But I'm not going to be surprised if down the line they're going to say, yo, we want you as a director now, like early, you know. So it's just big things to come for everybody. I think Miss Barbaro is going to be, I think she's going to be here for a long time to come, you know.
We'll see. She seems one of those that play like the Bond girl. You know how they switch it up every Bond
well,
movie?
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, you know. But
because we have money.
Damn, Dre, you try to simply call her a Bond girl?
There's nothing wrong with being a Bond girl. They're one of the...
But I don't see her being like Scarlett Johansson type.
Why? Okay.
Movies.
Okay.
Eight big roles like
okay.
that.
Okay. Again, I'm with Earn with this one. These are up and coming. Okay. They are new actors. They're out in the scene. They've probably been behind the scenes, but they are completely new to the scene. What better way to introduce yourself in Top Gun, bro? What better way to introduce? Hello. I want to introduce myself. Top Gun. Hello. That's on your resume,
like,
bro.
Like I said, like the one person that kind of sticks out is Miles Teller, but he's been around for a while. So we know some of his other movies that we've seen. So we knew that he was going to be like a hit already, a star.
Yeah. That was easy though.
That was a given.
Yeah, that was easy. That was a given, man. We're talking about
I know. I know you're talking about all the other guys. Like I said, I'm like, I have no idea who they are. I don't see them being successful as like A-listers.
Jesus Christ. Ouch. Bro. All right, let's go to the next question because this dude is already like knocking down people. For a movie that's about to hit a billion, and you're saying that these people are not successful?
The movie's called Top Gun Maverick.
Listen, he's taking everybody with him because he can't have a successful movie if he doesn't have people under him. I'm taking the elevator. I'm bringing everybody up with me. Stop it.
That's exactly the point.
Stop it.
Okay.
Exactly the point.
Think that Tom Cruise has some direction on who he needed to pick to be in this movie? You don't think he has some pull like that?
Of course he did.
Stop it.
But we're talking about, do we see them as being more than just this role?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
With Top Gun on your resume,
Barbaro? I don't think so.
Top Gun on your resume, the door's open.
Okay, we'll see 5 years from now, and I'm gonna be like, I told you so.
Why you gotta wait so long? Why it gotta be 5 years?
Because you gotta give it time to, you know, see what happens. It's not gonna happen overnight.
But then again, you have to give credit to the up and coming writers and up and coming producers. There's people that have been in the works for decades and have not been brought to the forefront simply because of all the red tape and all the bullshit they gotta get through. Once they break through, you never know what the amazing projects they might be, you know, holding in their pockets.
Like I said, the only person you guys referenced to was Jay Ellis. That he might be a successful, almost like Jordan Peele, like a director.
We never said
that. No, you guys say that he's a great director. He produced a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Insecure.
He's a star.
But he's not.
Absolutely.
But he's been busy before Top Gun.
Okay, the only person that we see here out of the new cast that might be successful is Jay Ellis.
No.
That's his opinion. That's my opinion.
That's
no, you're wrong.
Okay, we'll see.
You're wrong.
In 5 years from now, you can tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not going to care in 5 years.
I'm going to write this in my notes and the countdown.
I'm not going to hear. Okay, you don't even remember what we ate last week. And you want to remember 5 years from now about something you told me about a movie that made $1 billion 5 years ago?
This is a bet.
It's not a bet. I didn't write anything down. This is no legal contracts in order for you to tell me anything about it.
These people have
Top Gun on their resume. The door's open. I don't care what you say. Everybody has the potential to do great projects. Whether they want to be writers, they want to be behind the scenes, do other movies, it doesn't matter. Top Gun's on your resume. You're hot. You're coming in hot. It's the same thing like...
Hot.
Who was this that just won? Jennifer Hudson, right? She got an EGOT. An EGOT is when you have all four different...
She didn't get an EGOT.
Yeah,
she only got
she
GO.
She didn't. She just got the status this Sunday.
So she got an EGOT now?
She got an EGOT now. Yeah. Okay? And let me tell you something. That woman put in the work.
Well, see, Jennifer Hudson, you could tell.
This guy.
You could tell. Jennifer Hudson. Even from American Idol days, you could tell she was going to be the
Dirty doesn't get the concept of...
I do get the concept.
Up and coming, good actor.
And I'm telling you, up and coming, it's not.
And then he said, you could tell that because Jennifer was a singer, so you could tell she was going to be a good actor, basically.
No, not a good actor. Yeah, that she was going to do a lot of successful things. And you knew right away when you saw Dreamgirls, you knew she was going to outshine Beyonce right away. She took Beyonce shine.
Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know I'm right. You shut your Beyonce, if you hear me, forgive him. Just forgive him. This guy right here.
I'm telling you, this cast, like you said, maybe a few of them, but not all of them. As for Monica, maybe not.
Watch. You're gonna be surprised.
Okay.
You're gonna be like Earn and Oracle was right. You're gonna be like, geez, like. They said that.
Listen, Steph hates me when I'm right, bro.
Uh-oh.
I must hate you when you write too. So I don't know.
That's what I said. You hate me when I'm right.
And I hate when you're wrong too. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means.
Hate when you're wrong too. Look, at the end of the day, we're gonna see. I don't know about you need a 5-year plan for these good actors to see if they're gonna make it, but I'll give them about a year and a half just to see, you know, what shows or movies they come out with. Cause once you do a movie like this, and from what me and Oracle is saying, it just downhill from there, Troop, to be honest. It's just like boom, 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 boom. It just the movie rolls, or some movies are probably already done. I think me and Oracle is going to stick to our guns and say, you know, I think a lot of these characters, actors are going to be extremely well off overall in the movie world. Like, we're going to always remember them, you know. But let me ask you something. What about, I keep calling him Hangman. Am I right? Is it Hangman?
Glenn Powell, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about him? I mean, I think he had a, I've seen him before, of course. I recognize the face. But I think he has that it factor to be ready for big roles coming up. What do you think?
Absolutely. He's a hot looking guy. He's a hot piece of meat.
So you're going visually too.
So what? I'm no scout. I'm no talent agent. Bottom line, people go to the movies for visuals, for emotions, to get away from the normal life. They're trying to, you know, change things, keep things different, keep things, you know, that's how you want to get entertained. Me looking at him, I'm entertained. What's wrong with that?
Well, he's been in big movies. He's been in Hidden Figures. He's been in Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The Expendables.
Okay.
And Spy Kids.
Oh, that's Spy where Kids. I remember him that's from.
Him. There that, it is.
Now I remember. There it is. See, now I remember where he was from, because that face looked real familiar, and I was like, I couldn't pinpoint where it was. And the Expendables, bah, there it is. Now I know.
Oh, man.
And I liked that movie, too. That was a whole bunch of men in that one. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Yo, Steph, we got Steph all hot and bothered. Man. With all due respect, Dirty, to your wife, of course. But look, man, like, it was... This situation was really, really good for them. But you know what was funny to me? So they talked about, especially for the scene where they were doing the volleyball, they had to get in shape twice, like literally twice. They had to reshoot that scene.
Well, Tom Cruise was like, you guys are too fat. You guys got to work out. You guys have been slacking.
Nah, it was something.
Is that something you know for a fact?
He likes to yell at people if they do something wrong. So
Stop it! Come on, man.
I'm gonna be surprised if he's yelling at them if their body fat is not at a certain percentage.
Are you serious right now?
Yo, by the way, King Karim couldn't be here because he just couldn't be here. Yo, that's hilarious, yo. That's something King Karim would say. Look, man. They reshot the scene because there was a certain lighting they were looking for, right? So it was like I think it was like a couple of weeks later, paraphrasing. So they went back to their bad eating habits, like, good, who am I about to knock this food down? It wasn't the greatest food. And then they get the call and say, yeah, we need to reshoot that scene. And there was like, come on.
Mid-bite on that burger. They were like, oh, shit.
You gotta start hitting the treadmill.
Mid-bite. It was like...
Mid-bite.
Damn it! I gotta throw all this shit out in the cupboard.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious, man. Just a quick interesting little fact. So let me ask you something. What was the favorite part? What was your favorite scene in this movie?
Okay, I'll narrow it down to two. The training, I thought that was phenomenal. The training, the way that they went about it, seeing the different scenarios and seeing even if it could be accomplished. And I love the dog fights and Maverick just murdering them, just like murking them. Like I love destroying them. But I did enjoy the opening scene with the stealth.
The stealth bomber?
Yeah. I thought it was, you know, seeing him in the sea and him being in the other across the world and going Mach 10 is just, I thought that was just a phenomenal scene. I just thought that was a great. But the dogfighting, I mean, the end credits, some of the flights at the end and them having a successful scene and, you know, and just that seeing him and Rooster surviving at the end, and it made me cry at the end, seeing that scene, and I was just like, it got me.
Okay. Yeah, a couple of times it hit.
Oh, a couple of times hit. The one we thought that Tom Cruise died twice, and then we thought Rooster died twice, and I was just like, oh no!
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, you literally we thought that. You know, it was a scary. Dre.
What's your favorite scene? The beginning, the stealth bomber, and one of my favorite scenes with Val Kilmer. When you see Val Kilmer, you see the between the two bond that they have, that he was always protecting him in the military. You know, even though Tom Cruise, you know, like when, especially when you're like that experienced as he is as a pilot, Maverick, you know your abilities, or what you can do.
Right.
He wasn't cocky. He's just confident that he could get the job done. And the military doesn't like that. And right. Iceman was the one that was protecting him this whole time.
And they said that in the movie, Iceman is not here to protect you anymore. Yep. So.
John Hamm, aka Vice, you know, was coming after my boy this whole time. You know, he had like a grudge against him. Like, you gonna listen to me, boy? I'm the one that's gonna
put you in the seat. Like that. Go listen to. Come here, boy.
Like,
come on now. Stop it.
And the black guy on the side looking like, damn.
Yeah. Right.
This is interesting.
Real interesting.
Right? Oh my God.
Yeah, so, but just to see Val Kilmer like. To see the way he aged, and I love the fact that they use his real life. Was it this? I would say disability now. Disability.
He had cancer.
Yeah, to use his real life
situation,
medical situation that he's going through.
Yeah,
they used it in the movie, which is cool. Yeah. That he has the voice cancer.
What's the situation?
Well, he lost his voice in real life. Yeah,
he had cancer.
He has a cancer in his throat.
Yeah.
He lost his voice. So the voice that you see him in the movie, it's actually he spent money on a voice box. So what they did was, this is coming from Party J, they took all the movies that he did, they took all his voices, and they compiled it into a voice box to recreate his vocal cord.
Wow, I did not know that.
So when you hear him talking, that's the device talking for him.
I did not know that, man.
So he had like limited roles. So yeah, so it was touching, bro. It was,
however limited the scene was.
Yeah, it was a big impact.
It was a big impact. Yep. So seeing him typing and seeing him, and then at the end, Tom Cruise says like, "Don't mess up this moment," and asking that question.
Yeah.
Who's the better fighter pilot?
Wow. And guys, please forgive me. I'm in the notes, but I'm all over the place a little bit today. And I ain't gonna lie to you, that hit different. When come to find out, I was talking to my brother on the phone, and he asked me, "Man, whatever happened to Val Kilmer anyway in the acting world?" Because we're big fans of Val Kilmer because of Tombstone. I mean, if you don't remember Tombstone, then man, Doc Holliday.
Yeah,
that movie was everything for my brother. Yeah. You know,
there's a documentary on him, like talking about his role and talking about his journey in, you know, with the cancer and things like that. It's a very interesting documentary. I was able to see like the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes of it a little bit before Top Gun, but I want to definitely finish seeing the documentary. But there is I think it's on Prime Video. I'm going to check, right?
Okay.
I know that he has a documentary.
So while you're looking up, my favorite scene, of course, was definitely the stealth bomber. And I like the movie overall, man. This movie was just so good. You know, I'm trying to figure out what scene that I didn't like. And I can't figure out not one scene that I didn't like. You know, it was just tight from beginning to end. Because, again, I'm going to say for the third time, we wasn't overly concerned about no CGI. You know, it was just that dope of a scene. I mean, of a movie. And the stealth bomber to me got me. I ain't going to lie to you, man. That stealth bomber. You know, I don't know if I told you guys, I'm not the type of guy to go on big planes. Not planes, like go on roller coaster rides and all of that, because I'm a grown ass man. But I think this though, if they said, "Yo, Ern, you want to get a chance to go on the stealth bomber?" "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am." "Let's do that one good time and go as fast as you can, because I need to know." you know, and that was like my, that was my favorite scene. You know what I mean? And trust me, Tom Cruise, he probably convinced his pilot to do the upside down thing to show out. And you, God knows, he probably gave that guy extra $5 million just to do that little maneuver. You know, that was pretty dope too. That was pretty epic to me.
That's actually a legit move too in dogfighting.
Oh yeah.
No. He didn't give that man no money. Let me tell you, those fighter pilots, they love being in the air. They do that shit for free, bro. Ain't nobody got a pain to go do that.
The reason why they go upside down,
they do that shit for free,
is to when you go up and upside down, is to because when you have G-force, the reason why you go upside down because you don't want the blood for the pressure to go up to your head, so they flip you over quick to go down and go back up.
Right,
like you're in the right position with your body state to get to feel the full G-force, so that way you don't blank out.
Yeah,
it's actually a legit move.
Legit move. Yeah. It's a legit move. And think about it. There was one of the pilots who fainted, you know, just going up.
I think it was two of them. I think Payback fainted.
Yeah.
Who else fainted?
Yep.
Fanboy. Was it Fanboy?
Yep.
And I think.
Shoot.
Yeah, it was like two or three people that fainted during the whole exercise, the whole training exercise. And I was just like.
It's just a simulation.
It was just like that whole training simulation. And I was like, at the end, I was like, yo. They're not gonna make it in 2:30. My man did it in 2:15. Did it by himself. Shot, boom, boom, hit the bullseye. And he was out. Yo, Tom Cruise, yo, Maverick is crazy.
Nah, man, like I'm telling you,
my man's about results. He's results.
Give it to me, bro.
We need it now. You got less than 29 hours to teach these kids how to fly.
They got less than 3 weeks. I'm like, what?
And I love the fact that in the beginning of the movie, the reason why he did it, because he's not selfish. He thought about others. He knew if they scrapped the project, then everyone that's there doesn't have a paycheck.
Right.
So he knew.
That applies in real life,
that applies,
son.
In real life, too.
Wait, say that again?
That applies in real life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because he knew, like, if that test was not successful, they would have shut down the program. No more funding. People don't have jobs, so he did it for everybody else. Yeah, he always puts others before himself.
But like I said, he does that in real life too. Yeah. If this movie didn't go through, you know what I'm saying? He had to do what he needed to do. He needed to pay people, pay the government, lower the elevation. Whatever he got to do. Get the movie
a lot of red
done.
Tape on this movie, but it paid off.
The red tape was overflowing with blood.
I found it. It's called Val, V-A-L on Prime. That is the documentary on Val Kilmer.
The name of the company that created the device is from Sonantic. So they recreated the voice box and they use an artificial AI to do the voice.
Insane, right?
It's crazy.
Insane.
Unbelievable, man. God bless Val Kilmer and his family, man. I didn't know. It was just so funny that seeing the movie, again, me and my brother were talking about it, and then he asked what happened to Val Kilmer, and then we'd seen him, and we kind of jokingly said, oh, man, y'all didn't give Val Kilmer a bigger role? Like, this is ridiculous, you know? Oh, well, whatever. It's Hollywood, so my bad, Hollywood. I didn't know. Complete apologies. But man, one more question, right? So this guy, Maverick, he's just a maverick. I mean, he's basically live by the gun, die by the gun. But how sweet was it that he had a little romantic interest? Like,
did I miss that?
Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly.
I did miss it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. My whole time that I'm thinking that her character was in part one.
No.
And I'm trying to find the connection. I'm like, shit, I don't see how there was a connection to begin with. So I was getting I was getting myself booked for that reason. But no, the
you
love
interest. You gotta remember, like the 30 years, in our years, a lot has happened. Right. Iceman became a colonel. He's a high-ranking leader of military.
Right.
Tom Cruise having his flings, going through a midlife crisis. Rooster's mom died of cancer.
Right.
In the movie. So a lot has happened within those 30 years, that 30 year span that we don't see.
Right.
But we hear about it and we see it like in the movie.
Right.
So her character is a brand new character.
Right. Okay.
Right. Like it's Tom Cruise. It's AKA TC. You know, for him not to have a love interest is beyond us. You know, it's beneath us, probably, right? Beneath him.
Okay, so name one movie he has not had a love interest.
Oblivion.
Oblivion. The other one was...
Remember, there was a whole bunch of Tom Cruises. But...
Minority Report?
Minority Report. He didn't have a love interest in that. Did he have a love interest in Minority Report?
I don't remember.
Of course.
He did. No, he did.
Of course.
Damn.
Of course. It was a little... It was
hard to not have him...
Right. Remember, he had a wife.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's Tom Cruise. Like, it don't matter if the love interest is 5 feet tall or 5 feet 11. He's going to have... My boy TC ain't playing no games, man. He loves his women. But it was pretty cool, man. I just, you know, I was happy to see that for him because you're thinking about a guy who's in a movie. I think he's just about 50 years old. And this guy, he till this very day, he could have been a 3-star general.
Yeah.
And he bypassed all of that. Like, well, no, I'm good.
They bypassed him too, you know, because of his record, his being defiant. You know, he could have been a 3-star general, but. They didn't allow him to. Because remember, the military wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah, you know? But they wanted to get
Iceman rid of him. The one that's protecting him, you know?
But they wanted to get rid of him out the air, though.
Yeah.
You know, slightly less defiant and say, you know what? I want to give a shot at being a general. They would have gave it to him. They would have been like, good, we got you out the air, man, because you just too much. You're literally that much, you know? You're fantastic at what you do. You're probably the best on planet Earth. But yeah, we'll give you the star, General. We'll give you 1 star. The 3-star probably pushing it because, you know, he'll probably mess that up real quick. You know, but, you know, yeah, it's again, it's Top Gun, Maverick. I think we went through it all. So similarities, Drake, break it down, Dirty, break it down.
Number one.
Part one to part two,
the scene with the motorcycle racing the jet. That's one. That's one of them. That was in the first one.
Right.
Of course.
Him looking in the window at the bar when Goose was playing the piano.
Yep.
That's number mm-hmm. two.
Because Rooster mm-hmm. was playing with the rest of the other room.
Playing the same song.
Same song.
Great Balls of Fire?
Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire. Yeah.
So he's reminiscing of him, of them playing that.
Yep.
What else? You see...
Them training, right?
The dog fights. You see the ship again. That's another similarity. You see them, the feud between Hangman and Rooster.
Yep.
Now this is Iceman and Maverick. Their feud of who's the better pilot. You see them at the end at the top of the ship, on top of the carrier jet, the carrier ship. When the mission was a success, they both shook hands and respected each other.
Yeah, it was a respect thing.
Right.
No, man,
it was a lot. There was, if you look at it, there was going on, man. They're like, I like the fact that they kept it the way it was supposed to be kept.
Another similarity, my man had the same fighter bomb, the bomber jacket, and the same motorcycle from the first movie.
You would say that. You said the same bomber jacket.
Still fit.
He probably got the same Ray-Bans.
They'll fit them. Listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Also, they use the same music. Mm-hmm. That's another similarity.
Oh yeah, in the beginning and the opening scenes and the music, I was just like, oh, yes. I said, oh, I know
that's another thing we didn't talk about either. The music, the composition, the soundtrack.
Yeah,
Lady Gaga and Hans Zimmer, they both produced the soundtrack music, to the movie.
Yeah, love that. Lady Gaga's coming through the clutch. Lady Gaga song. Hold my hand. Yeah. Such a good, and the music video is so good.
Yeah.
If you watched the movie, like the music video before you saw the movie, you basically got the whole movie in that music video, which is really great. But, you know, I have a preference for Lady Gaga, you know, so I love her though. But
Lady Gaga. She's awesome. She's awesome at everything she does, actually.
I love her.
Hans Zimmer is just a whole nother, he's just on a whole nother planet.
He's on another level, bro. Just doing between Phantom of the Opera. What else he's done?
I didn't do Phantom of the Opera. That's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
He's done everything. Batman.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Hans Zimmer. Like, the reason why I know Hans Zimmer.
No, it's because of Batman.
It's because of freaking Gladiator with Russell Crowe. He created, when I first heard Hans Zimmer.
Right.
Because he created that whole soundtrack for Gladiator.
Right.
No, but didn't Hans Zimmer do Transformers as well?
He did Transformers.
I was going to say, I got Andrew Lloyd Webber.
But my introduction to Hans Zimmer was Gladiator.
See, that's another.
Excuse me. That's Ridley Scott.
No, that's Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott is Gladiator.
But Ridley Scott is the director, isn't he?
Oh, so yeah. So excuse me, Hans Zimmer for Gladiator.
Boy, like, get it together, bro. Like, get a check.
like, hold on, man. You giving us. Don't give us this information and for us to get crushed.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, let's get it together.
Hans Zimmer did do Gladiator.
Yes.
But didn't he do the Batman movies?
He did it all there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you're looking at
me. My man has his foot in everything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was like, I know he did Batman. I know he did at least, like, so many other movies. And I'm like.
Justice League.
See, that's what I'm saying. He's been in it. His foot is in everything.
I mean, he's done animation work. I mean, what hasn't this guy do?
What
Don't get it twisted. He's a legend. That's just what it is.
My man did Interstellar, Dune, Gladiator, Top Gun, Da Vinci Code, Pirates of the Caribbean, Inception, No Time to Die, Lion King, Pirates, The Last Samurai, The Dark Knight, Dunkirk, Rain Man, Prince of Egypt. He's been Pearl Harbor. This guy's been. A lot of these action movies, he's the number one guy.
Yeah, he's the one to go to.
He killed it in Inception, man. Like,
he did Man of Steel too, right?
He did Man of Steel, right? Batman versus Superman.
I know that one.
Man of Steel, Black Hawk Down. Spider-Man. He's done a lot of stuff.
I remember the soundtrack for Man of Steel, and I remember my good friend who owns a dance studio, he had one of his... tap choreographers, he did that song from Man of Steel. Freaking amazing dance. It was so good. But Hans Zimmer, Lady Gaga, talking about that music, Top Gun coming in hot.
Spitting them bars. Oracle's just spitting the bars just now. Right? I'm telling you, man, like, that guy's another living legend to me. You know, Inception, if people didn't get a chance to see Inception, that's actually such a thing. That people didn't see that movie that came out years ago. It's phenomenal. Please go see it and just listen. You're going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer knows what he's doing. Of course, you know? So Lady Gaga, Hans Zimmer, similarities, anything else we haven't covered for Top Gun Maverick, that's going to probably go $1 billion probably in like another 2 weeks probably.
probably by the 4th of July weekend, right? Because 4th of July, everybody's going to be away in the weekend. And then that's the same week that Stranger Things comes out. There's so many things coming out. So Top Gun is probably still going to be Top Gun in the movie theater.
Right now, it's number two in the box office because of Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So
Jurassic Park is number one right now this week.
Yeah. Top Gun is still number two. That's nuts, man.
Yeah.
That's like for this week. Overall, it's still number one in terms of like sales.
Right. Because if you think about it, if you're thinking like I'm thinking in terms of movies in a theater, we're really waiting for, let's see, Lightyear comes out. It came out today. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. And then we're waiting for really Thor. I'm trying to think what else is after that for the summer to say a blockbuster, possible blockbuster movie. He's going to be there for a minute. They might not take this out the theater till late July or early August.
Well, Elvis is coming out too. The biopic Elvis is coming out too.
My bad. I didn't mean to get Haitian on you with the.
No, I heard it and I just simply ignored you.
He's looking at his.
I heard it and I was like, no, man, did not just do that.
Yeah, but that song that's out for Elvis is pretty good from the soundtrack.
Yeah. So he might just be in the top charts just for in the box office just because.
The song of Doja Cat, Vegas, the one from the Elvis movie, sick.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good song. I love that song.
But I just want to go back and just go through anything that we haven't missed or something that you felt like we need to discuss because there's so much great things about this movie. We want the listeners to come and let us know what was so great about this movie. You know, what was it for you? I know for me, it was the dogfights. It was the Mission Impossible. That's what I wanted to put it in there, you know, because thinking about how was this ever going to get done, you know, and it was just the suspense, the actual scenes of the planes themselves. What was that last scene before They were before Hangman came in, that there was one of the planes that was just doing all these crazy maneuvers. And it was just like, I was like, you can't make this shit up. Like, this is amazing. Like, this is like, it can't get no better than, or maybe it can if they do a part two, but I doubt it. I don't know if they could follow up with that, but if they did, you know, it's going to be, it's like, yeah. How? Yeah, it's like, yeah.
If they do, Tom Cruise would be the new Ed Harris.
No. Mm-mm. No, he wouldn't. Rooster would take over.
Yeah, Rooster would take over, but Tom Cruise would be the Ed Harris, the general in the back, just giving him orders.
He's crazy. Ed Harris would be still the same there. Yeah, probably in a wheelchair 20 years later. No,
that's crazy.
That guy's not giving up that role. Yeah. Shoot. I mean, I don't know, man, but there's no reason to do a part two, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably no reason for it, too.
It's gonna be yeah. hard to
top that.
Top this one.
Top Gun.
Yeah. It's gonna be hard to top Top Gun. So look, before we leave, we gotta do it. We gotta give them our ratings. Ladies first. No pressure.
I know. I was thinking.
No, there's plenty of pressure, but
yeah,
no
yeah,
pressure.
I know. Just I'm trying to narrow it in, trying to pull it in. I want to say, I want to give it a 9. And the thing with it is,
why would you cry? Why would you give
I know, I know.
Cried?
I think it's because
you were like,
I know. I'm such a softie. Yeah, I was a softie. Okay. All right, I'll give it a 10 then. Yeah, I'll give it a 10. The emotions, the reminiscing, the music. Oh my God. I thought at first it was something wrong with the soundtrack, but it was really how it started.
Yeah, the song is just...
Oh man, I was crying. It was so good. No, 10. Yeah, I'm 10. I'm a 10. Yeah, I'm 10.
Yo, you got a perfect movie?
Yeah. It's so hard not to give it a 10.
It had everything, bro.
It had everything.
Suspense, it had drama, it had laughter. It gave you your emotional connection to the movie. It gave you everything, bro.
It gave you everything.
And the fact that it was like mostly real, aerial acrobats.
No, the whole time I thought it was CGI. So, okay. So I didn't know it was CGI. I would have given it a 9. Now that I know it's real, I'm giving it a 10. There, boom.
Wow. You just gave a movie a perfect rating. Yo.
Listen, I'm a soft grader then. I'm a soft grader.
Yeah, this is a 20 talk 20, bro. Times 2.
20.
This is a hit in my book, bro.
A 10 for you.
A 20, bro.
Yo, you just gave it a 20?
Give it a 20, bro.
Because 10 plus 10 is 20.
Exactly.
So my 20. My 10 and his 10?
30.
Oh, because Aaron's about to go give it a 10. Go
you
ahead,
about to give it a 10, about to give it a 40 right now.
Like,
be honest, bro. Like, come on. It's not hard.
It's
TC, boy. Do your boy TC good, bro.
You got to do him justice, bro. You got to do him justice.
TC don't know me in real life.
But he took your money.
He took the money. He took the words right out of my mouth. I was like, yo, TC took your money, son. And he thanked you in the beginning of the movie.
Performance of a lifetime, bro.
Of a lifetime, bro. He risked his life, son.
This movie has been 3-4 years in the making.
No, 30 years in the making,
bro. No, I'm talking about like in terms of filming.
Oh, but... It's been in the making since the first movie stopped. It was been in the making since then, bro.
Jeez, I'm over here. And I'm really
you
calm.
You can't find nothing wrong with it, bro.
You can really always find something wrong, but the thing is, do you want to?
You're going to come out and say, yo, I saw the filming van in the back in the scene right there where the plane flew.
Oh, shut up. What are you saying?
Okay. I'm going to grade it. And you guys are definitely going to feel some type of way. But I give it a 9.9.
No point. No point.
I can't give away. I can't.
No, we already.
You agreed last time.
You agreed last time. No more fractions. No more fractions. Whole no numbers, more points. Baby. No decimals. Like whole numbers only.
No more fractions.
No more fractions. No more decimals. No percentages. None of that. It's whole numbers. Okay.
If I really have to find something wrong and I'm going in my memory bank and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking, dialogue is tight, scene is tight, they really was in the plane tight, relationships tight, micro situations were tight, Val Kilmer probably now that we know stole our hearts tight. Yeah, the movie's a 10. The movie's a 10.
No!
Wow. Wow.
Tell me that music don't hit a certain way, son. That shit hit in the beginning, bro. Yo, I'm tearing right now, but you can't tell behind these glasses, son. So good.
Yo, nah, that movie's a 10. I remember the movie like it was yesterday. It's that easy for me.
Yeah, from beginning to end.
And I'm
to
like,
recall
where
it that
it
quickly. Yeah, to recall it. And after seeing it so long ago, you know.
Listen.
Yeah.
You know. I remember every detail from Gladiator.
Oh, I love the Gladiator.
I know every detail. Dope. And I've probably seen that maybe four or five years ago. Like just watching it again. Yeah, but I know every detail. So
And it's like that. I mean, it's just like that. That's just what it is. So yeah, that movie. So yeah, Top Gun. And I'm looking here in IMDb, right? And I'm just like, where do they get their 8.6 from? But then again, you're getting it from everybody, right?
Yeah,
that's just what it is.
Yeah, the average.
You're getting it from everybody. There's gonna be some people who have this thing where, like me. Right? Like, look, let's be honest. Nothing in the world is perfect.
Yeah,
like,
we know that.
Nothing in the world is perfect.
Yeah, for sure.
So for the most part, you know. But after that, like movies, perfect movies, you know. Oh, man, don't worry. We're going to have a discussion like that real soon about perfect movies. That's coming up. But in the meantime, that's it. If you didn't go see this movie yet, you need to go see it. Oracle, just let them know where they could find us at so we could talk more about it.
Of course. We want to keep our options open because there are so many great shows and movies out there for everybody to watch and enjoy. So if you guys have any other recommendations for us to see and for us to talk about, let us know. Don't forget to follow, like, and share on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at 20Talk20. Again, 20 Talk is talking about all shows and movies and everything in between. So go back and listen to those episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker Radio, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, and CastBox. You can find us on all platforms and make sure you tune in on new episodes premiering on Fridays. And don't forget to check us out on YouTube for all your viewing pleasure. So, guys, I can't tell you more than enough. You gotta go see it. Gotta go see it.
This guy.
We gotta get hit with a copyright, son.
Well, we're not monetizing anyway, so it don't even matter.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
No, set that
I'm looking
up
at the reviews right now. Females ages under 18 and under gave it a 6.5.
Oh, there it is. You see?
You know why? But they're 18 because they would have not.
18 and under. Maybe they don't understand.
They don't understand, yeah. Yeah. It makes perfect sense, though.
Not that they don't understand. They don't relate.
What, the present? Different.
Probably.
They don't. It's not that the movie is understandable, but because it's not relatable to. Like,
yeah.
Right, right. They probably gave it a 6 because they loved the beach scene. And then after that, it was like, okay, we're
done.
All the abs. So,
so look, this is our show for the day, 20 Talk 20. This is your boy, R&B, a.k.a. The Maverick.
It's Hefty Oracle.
This is your boy, Dre, a.k.a. Dirty.
Have a great weekend, y'all. Peace and love.
Take care, brother.
Take care.